It's not that hard. We do it all the time around here.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll get out of the way, though. We'll be back tomorrow. Terry John's joining us to get you ready for your weekend here on The Morning Show. Thank you to all of you out there. We'll be back with more fun coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Have a great morning, everybody.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with mixed signs on the economy. First, retail sales, which were up 0.3% last month, despite inflation and higher interest rates. Bank Rate's Mark Hamrick.
Among categories, sales of vehicles up 1.4%. Department stores are up 0.3% and general merchandise up 0.4% in May.
The number of people who signed up for first-time unemployment benefits over the past 2 weeks is at its highest level since October of 2021. The Supreme Court could weigh in with decisions in several high-profile cases shortly. One of them involves affirmative action in education. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenberg.
When the case comes down to whether the use of racial preferences can continue to be used as a factor in college admissions, even if it discriminates against other students with higher test scores who should also be protected under the Civil Rights Act.
At least a dozen tornadoes have knocked down trees and damaged buildings across the southeast. Glenda Williams' granddaughter was alone when a tree fell on the family's mobile home in Lexington, Mississippi.
She had just walked out the room. She was on the phone with one of our friends, and she was just screaming. She said she was finna lay down, so thank God she didn't lay down because it went right across her bed.
More than 160,000 customers still have no power. Parts of Texas and Florida could get record-breaking heat today. Officials in Ukraine say fighting is fierce in its counteroffensive against Russia. CBS's Ian Lee met with members of one unit returning from battle.
They move into position under the cover of darkness. Night vision gives these Ukrainian soldiers the edge against the Russians. Morning brings the command, attack. This soldier, call sign Blacksmith, led the first assault. It took us 2 days to push nearly 3 miles, he tells me. The Russians were dug in and heavily fortified, but intense artillery fire forced them to flee.
From our health file, doctors may be taking less stock in body mass index. The American Medical Association is advising medical professionals to pay less attention to patients' BMI when they calculate healthy weights. The AMA says other factors like body composition, belly fat, waist circumference, and genetics are just as important. The All-Muslim City Council in Hamtramck, Michigan has banned LGBTQ+ flags from publicly owned flag poles. Lawmakers say it's about respecting religious rights. Darren Shelton, who runs the local theater, sees it differently.
In my opinion, it is the city council's nuclear option to make sure that this flag cannot be hung up on government property.
This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm James, senior apparel designer, and this is Behind the Design with Blue Ranchwear. This is your true, unfiltered Western brand. There's a beauty in the simplicity of the product to be able to move, but still have that classic Western sensibility. Rigid out of the box, you put on your back and you, it just wears with you. Year after year of wearing the product, so it just becomes yours. Blue Ranch Wear, only at Boot Barn.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Alyssa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, June 15th. The North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board CEO meeting will take place at 9:30 at the Marathon County Job Center in Wausau. In Portage County, the City of Stevens Point will hold their Deer Management Committee meeting at 7 a.m. This one-time event will take place at 2442 Sims Avenue. They will discuss and possibly take action on selecting a committee chairperson and vice chairperson. They'll hear an update on deer culling contractor requests for proposals and seek approval of a workshop on shooting deer in urban suburban environments. The Justice Coalition Executive Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at 1516 Church Street in Stevens Point. The Portage County Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee will meet at 2 p.m. at the County Annex in Conference Room 5. The McMillan Library will host author Kristen Akbar on Thursday at 7 p.m. She will be discussing her book, Recovery is My True Blessing. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 71. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 47. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77. Low 80s Saturday, mid 80s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Age of Social Security. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Is it ever going to be the right time to start to raise the age of Social Security when you think about the cost of that program, you think about people who are living longer, but at any given moment, the people who are in the, you know, within the 10-year range of being eligible are going to fight like hell to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so is there ever going to be a time to do this, that it's going to be like, all right, yep, this is the right thing to do? I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And we already have a comment right out of the gate.
Excellent.
on the Facebook live stream from John Fenner. Never.
Okay, then. Thank you, John. I like that succinctness.
Yes. And so, Jane Manera, I will ask you first, since you are within that
couple years away.
So you obviously would not want this now, but do you think that there would ever be a palatable time to make this change?
No, I really don't. And no, are we going to expect, we really expect people to work until they're 70 and 75?
But what if they're living to 110?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I know, but I don't. If we all age the same, if we all kept our faculties at the same rate, if we all physically broke down at the same rate, but we don't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've talked to people who are retired but are still working because they like to be busy. One of my sisters is semi-retired, and she has been for a while, but she likes to do 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 73. She doesn't want to go back to work full time.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is ever going to say, yep, let's raise it to 80.
I agree with you. But it's like, so the background here is yesterday, a panel of 3/4 of the House Republican caucus released a budget proposal And included in it is a provision that would raise the Social Security retirement age from 67 to 69. So it would gradually raise Social Security's full retirement age. So that's the age. I'm sure I don't have to explain this to a fair amount of people out there, but bear with me. the age at which people are eligible for full Social Security benefits to 69. So the current level is 67 for those born in 1960 or later. And so slight increase. And the way I understand this is there's not actually one. Like, when we talk about the retirement age, there's actually, like, 96 retirement ages. So there's one for each month between the ages of 62 and 70. And so what people call the full retirement age is just a placeholder in a formula that determines the benefit level at any one of those, like, months. So the 96 retirement ages. So people who retire at the full retirement age receive 100% of their primary insurance amount. And so that's what they're saying would go from 67 to 69. And, you know, this is not the first time that they've talked about this. It's, you know, I didn't see a lot of coverage of this proposal getting released yesterday. So it's obviously very early versus it being like a big splashy news story. But it just, for me, raised the question again, like, is it ever going to be...
Everybody's going to get on board with this.
Yeah. Because especially as you think about a lot of the people who vote for Republicans are older. And who among them is going to be like, yep, this is a good idea. Unless, I guess, if they're already wealthy, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, because and have their retirement secure so they're not really worried about Social Security. But 844-967-2789, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security?
Beverly from Richland Center is on the line. Hey, Beverly, what do you think?
I think 65 is fine. I don't think it should go up any higher than that. And you know, the Republicans saying that, you know, we've got to increase the age because it's going insolvent. There are so many other ways to solve that problem. Even Chris Christie the other night in his town hall said, you know, millionaires and the rich people, they probably don't need their Social Security, you know? Why should we have to pay them?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of changes that could be made.
Absolutely. Besides raising the age, you think there's other places to be looking at besides keep bringing up this point?
Oh, sure. It's just like the Republicans say we've got to keep cutting and keep cutting and keep cutting rather than saying maybe we should increase taxes. It's the same level of argument.
Absolutely. So your answer is like John's, where it's never.
And mine. I'm with you on that, Beverly. I just don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, think about the fact that who in the country does most of the volunteering?
Yeah.
You know, it's the people who are able to volunteer to retire and then they go out and volunteer. They don't stop working, but they volunteer and support their communities. You know, so you want people to work until they're dead, and who does the volunteer work?
you make really good points, Beverly, and I agree with you certainly about the income issue. Why should someone who's worth $1 billion get Social Security?
What do you think they even do with it?
Yeah. It can't even be the amount of the interest that they make.
I know. Thanks for the call, Beverly.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. David from Mequon. What do you think, David?
Well, to kind of rebut a little bit at your previous caller, so even billionaires that collect Social Security currently and multimillionaires, there's a cap as to the amount of money that, you know, the max amount of Social Security benefit that any individual can get. So it's not like it's like you get an unlimited check for Social Security. I can't remember what it is. I think it's like $3,700 a month or something. So even a billionaire, that's the max amount that they can get as far as Social Security is concerned. And if you look at what's happening in Europe, you know, France is in the same predicament, but they actually have a much lower retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the question is this, is that, you know, people are living longer. And when you live longer, you're going to have to work a little bit longer, unfortunately. Now, some of the people, now like my mom, unfortunately, she died before she could even collect a check with Social Security. And so she paid into that for 30-some-odd years, and she didn't see a nickel. And we, you know, we got, what, a $255 death benefit, you know, for her, you know, passing away before she could even collect anything. So you have these issues where, yes, people are, you know, kicking in and what have you, but the same token, we have to realize that when Social Security and Medicare and all that other stuff was put together, they really didn't, it wasn't like some crazy formula that they came up with, like, okay, we're going to start initially at 65. They literally picked that out of the air.
Yeah.
And at that time, 65 was, you know, back then, much different than 65 is today, because obviously people can live a lot longer, where they could live into the 90s and
100 even 100.
Or so.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of keep that in perspective, too.
So do you think that there's a time, like if we set it 20 years from now, so people who are in their 40s now would know that by the time they're 65, it's actually going to be 70. Do you feel like that would be palatable, or like how much of a grace period do you think if we were ever going to change the age, you'd have to give people as far as to like mitigate their expectations of this is the age that I'm working till?
Well, you know, they have this life expectancy whole thing going on now with, you know, different age groups. If you're born year 2000, you should live to, you know, automatically like 80 years old or whatever it is. I forgot what it is. But, you know, again, I think we have to look. I'm not sure what that, you know, how that number gets associated with. The one thing I would recommend, though, one thing that I think is frustrating. So my dad is 87. Okay. He collected Social Security well before he was in full retirement age.
Okay.
The thing for him, though, that stinks is that, you know, he's taxed on his Social Security. Again, even though he paid into it, that is considered taxable income, which is, that's nuts. I think that's really a huge disservice to people that are retiring. Well, we're going to tax you for this. And then that's why people are moving to, you know, like the Floridas of the world, the Texas and, you know, places like that, because at the state level, at least you're not going to get nicked, but at the federal level, you will.
Yeah.
So in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that is why you see a lot of retirees don't want to stick around Wisconsin and they move to a state where they're not going to be penalized for collecting Social Security.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the
Thanks
call,
a lot,
David.
Dave. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in.
You know what? This is a totally different tangent and probably something I'd have to research a lot more. But as David just mentioned, and they've talked about this, many people have talked about this as far as, you know, first it starts with snowbirds and people who retire to different places because of income taxes and stuff like that. But simultaneously, is that not transferring, and I'm going to say this carefully because I'm not trying to make it sound, but like the health, the aging health burden, as we talk about boomers aging, and I know, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there's like predictions out there as far as like what the Alzheimer's is going to cost the U.S. in the next 20 years because of the amount of people who are aging. And so I think it would be interesting to look at like prediction models as far as where the migrating retiring age and like what that could potentially do to the health systems in those states. But that's a totally different topic. And so before I go down that rabbit hole, we're going to go back to the question, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we will take your calls when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Today, It's June Dairy Month. And though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Wisconsin Rapids area will host the 18th annual Cranberry Blossom Festival, June 15th through the 18th, 2023. Join us as we celebrate our blossoming community with 25 events for the whole family, including a carnival, live music, arts, a parade, and more. Known for our rich cranberry heritage and special events, the four-day event highlights and supports outstanding groups in our community. Traditional favorites include the Berry Fest Raffle, the Dairy Berry Breakfast, Cinema Under the Stars, Kids Fishing, Arts and Crafts, Parade, and the Duck Derby. For more information, visit blossomfest.com or check out their Facebook page.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 60.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are asking the question, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? Because yesterday, a panel of the House Republican caucus released a budget proposal. And in it, there was a provision that would raise the Social Security retirement age. And so basically it would specifically the Social Security's full retirement age, and it would raise it gradually from 67, where it is currently, to 69. And there was a bunch of other things in there that I don't feel like getting into today. But as far as this question that continues to feel like it pops up, that is never to a certain group that is close to that age, it is always going to be
no.
Yes. Like, don't do that.
Right.
And so I don't, like, what is the solution as far as, is this ever going to be a thing that people are, the majority of people are going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. 844-967-2789.
Randy from Waukesha is on the line. Hey, Randy, what do you think?
Well, as far as the age going up, yeah, that's a good point. But the reason I called was because your previous caller said that we get taxed on our Social Security, only federal. In Wisconsin, we don't get taxed on Social Security income.
So you don't. When did you start collecting, Randy?
When I was 62, I got laid off, and I wasn't going to find comparable employment then. Mm-hmm. But I knew I could work part time and do things. So I went ahead and started collecting at 62. My original plan, my original thinking was to work till 70 for that bigger amount of money, until my brother pointed out to me, when you get to all that bigger money, first you got to make up all the money you left on the table by not collecting earlier. Which is why, you know, I changed my thoughts on that.
Interesting.
I wasn't going to wait till I was 70. And But if they have to raise it, they have to raise it. We're not all in the same condition at 60 years old or 70 years old. Some of us are in pretty good shape. Some of us are hurting pretty bad.
Yeah, yep. Definitely.
But you're saying, as someone who's been paying into it or who has been getting your payments, you don't pay taxes on it in Wisconsin?
Not in Wisconsin.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling, Randy. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 414. First, there are many people in very physical professions who either can't or for whom it would be very hard to keep working. The most obvious solution is to actually have everyone pay at the same rate. Once you've reached a certain income level, you don't pay anymore. Social Security is a group pension plan that's supposed to be for everyone. Everyone should pay at the same rate, just like most such plans.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And also from the 414, life expectancy is actually going down in the U.S.
Yes. And as far as what I understand, as far as life expectancy, the age group that it's actually bringing it down right now, well, one, it was COVID. And so it'll be interesting to see, as COVID is still obviously an issue. It is not the top issue anymore. But with the age expectancy is going down because of opioid overdoses. And so that is a much younger group.
Yes.
That is dying of overdoses, that is bringing down the average, as far as I understand that statistic to be interpreted as. But it is a good point. We got a message from Mike Van Sumeren on the YouTube live stream. Social Security became taxable under Reagan as part of the tax cuts he passed for the wealthy. He had to fill a revenue shortfall, which is why he taxed seniors and their Social Security. Oh, Reagan.
St. Ronnie. St. Ron. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Dave from West Bend on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Just a couple of comments real quick. With taxing in the state of Wisconsin, don't you have to make like a certain amount of Social or collect a certain amount of Social Security before it can be taxed? I think there's probably some people that aren't really generating that much income from their Social Security where they're not taxed.
Well, we just heard from Randy saying that in Wisconsin, you don't get taxed on your Social Security.
But you do from the Fed.
But that you do from the federal. For your federal income taxes, you do get taxed, but not on the state level as far as the income tax.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't think there's a one size fits all for retirement. We probably all know some people that when you talk to them about retiring, it's like you're talking a foreign language. It could be somebody that really enjoys their job or their business that they've developed. And, stopping work is they plan on working until they die. Everybody's not like that. But overall, I think that the retirement age, you either stay the age that it is or lower it.
Interesting.
That's never going to happen, Dave.
I started collecting when I was 62. I never really had any jobs that I really was in love with. I couldn't wait. And I also, fortunately, I've been able to avoid working part-time. I mean, working for 35, 40 years was enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We got to go to another break, but let us know. Will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security, even if you're, 20 years from now, as much as things change? But every time they bring this up, it feels like there's some group that's going to get screwed over. So is there ever going to be a time where this is, feasible? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Buckley Baldwin Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 2534 received all state honors at the VFW Department of Wisconsin State Convention in Rothschild earlier this month. The Wisconsin Rapids VFW Post was one of only 24 posts in Wisconsin to receive these honors. They were recognized for their 22-23 program year, growing their membership 105%, their support and partnership within the community, and having an active honor guard team, to name a few highlights. Their honor guard team is recognized as the top honor guard in the state, providing military honors at over 40 funerals and 30 other events throughout the year. Kids can meet Raptor baseball players and get their hair cut for free at Mid-State Technical College's event tonight from 4:30 to 7 at the Wisconsin Rapids campus. Play games and contests with Raptors team members and try a complimentary scoop of Mid-State's Cranberry Cougar Swirl ice cream. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
Last spring, you chose hardworking seed, but did it work as hard as you did? At NK Seeds, we know that all the time, all the effort, comes down to this. All that matters now is yield and how the seed performed on your acre. Because you can't fake performance. And bushels don't lie. Visit nkseeds.com/harvest.
Live on stage, a tribute from Steve Bobbitt, Logan Ramey, and Christopher Lonsdorf. The rock and roll sound of Rod Stewart, Elvis, and Buddy Holly. Also country artists Jeff Landon and Jeff Cannon. And don't miss the Blues Brothers. Bring a lawn chair for all the shows. Free admission and enjoy over 70 booth vendors, kids games, the Zor Clowns, and concessions. It's all happening during the Holiday Spirit Zor Funster Benefit Event. Saturday, October 14th and 15th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 100 baskets to raffle with 100 winners and 100% of the raffle going to the Shriners Children's Hospitals. A car cruise in each day, weather permitting. Special treats. Captain America, Batman, and the Kit Car from Knight Rider. Saturday is costume day. Dress up for some spooktacular fun. An event for the whole family Saturday, October 14th and 15th at Arnott Lions Park, corner of Highway J and 4th Street in Arnott. Sponsored in part by Renee's Red Rooster, Chatterbox, Sparhawk Trucking, and Civic Media.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM is looking for organizations that regularly distribute information about employment opportunities to job applicants or have job applicants to refer. If your organization would like to receive notification of job vacancies, please notify us at 1690 2nd Avenue South, Wisconsin Rapids 54495 or call 715-424-1300. WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM is an equal opportunity employer and encourages women and minorities to apply.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 71. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 47. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77. Low 80s Saturday, mid 80s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 58.
At taxed. The same tax on everyone, regardless of income. Leave the age alone, please. And from the 262, Social Security, it's one thing when you're talking about other countries, you have to consider they have far more robust universal healthcare programs.
That is also very true.
That is very true.
That's very different. Well, and that's what's so wild to think about, you know, the protests that are still happening in France as far as changing the pension age, that I think even as of, where did I see this? This month, French pension reform protesters briefly stormed 2024 Olympics headquarters, and that was June 6th.
Oh, wow.
So they are still protesting from raising the age, I think, from 62 to 64, if I'm remembering that correctly, as far as what the change was that they want to make. And that is also on top of the fact that they do have a very robust
healthcare
system.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to us. And I was having this conversation last night. I went to the night market in Milwaukee and talking about maternity leave. And I was talking to a couple who he owns a bunch of his own businesses and restaurants and bars and stuff like that. So, and their kids are, one just graduated high school, one's in high school. So this was a while ago, relatively. But he was like, I took 2 weeks off and I think she was back to work and within 4 weeks.
Because
she was, orthodontist assistant or something, and she was hourly. And I, you know, as compared to, and it's just so funny how we think about that, because one, there's certain companies in the US, like a Google. Like I have a friend who's working for Google who's pregnant right now. She's due in July. She's taking 9 months off.
Wow.
And that's what that's what Google pays her.
Wow.
And
they're gonna pay her for 9 months.
They're gonna pay her for 9 months. And I because I said, I was like, you know, it's like I'm taking 12 and like I'm lucky enough to be at a place that is allowing me to take 12. But then you think about there's a certain countries where that like the whole year is like that's just what it is. And like the range of what is expected when it comes to taking care of your health or postpartum or all these different things where it's not that uncommon for people to go back to work after having a baby, of which your body, it's pretty traumatizing. And some people are back to work within a week or two.
I can't even imagine. I can't. I just the difficulty in parting from your infant that early must just be excruciating.
Well, on top of that, also, who's going to take care of it?
Well, right.
I know as of right now, there is, starting at 10 o'clock today, there is a protest happening. No, I don't know a protest, but there is, I guess, a protest happening for the Save the Child Care Counts that's happening in Madison right now to try to advocate for including provisions in our state budget to continue to fund childcare. So we've talked about it before on this on the show, as far as if we as a state do not backfill what was part of federal funds to, as far as the infrastructure bill, I think that was the infrastructure.
I believe so.
And there's going to be, it's already the scarcity and the expense of childcare is only going to get worse if we don't do something in this budget to supplement it, because half of Wisconsin already lives in a childcare desert, meaning there's not even availability. And I would say the cost of actually getting childcare, for even if you can access it, is very expensive.
Yes.
And so to not have any kind of subsidies for that, it's only going to get more expensive, and more childcare centers are only going to close. And so I know that's happening this morning. And so hopefully that'll make a difference.
One can hope.
One can hope.
One can always hope.
But speaking of the Capitol, there's a lot going on there. It was funny. I'm good friends with Jesse Opoyan, who for the last 10 years had been at the Cap Times as a political reporter and the Capitol Times or the Capitol Bureau chief. And now she's in her second week of being the political reporter for Journal Sentinel.
Yeah.
So I just texted her, goes, how's it going? And she just wrote back, busy.
Jesse's always busy.
Jesse's, but this is an especially busy time. So I'm going to try to run through as many of the updates as I can of what's been happening in Madison in the 10 minutes we have in this segment. Probably can't get too deep into anything. We'll revisit things as we need to. But here's, you know, kind of a rundown of what's going on in Madison, where we're at the, you know, it's mid-June. This budget is supposed to be done by the end of June. And things are both being productive and a little testy. Emotions, I think, are running a little high. So yesterday, the legislature passed the bill that averts Milwaukee's financial crisis. So it lifts aid to local governments. So state lawmakers passed the controversial legislation that keeps Milwaukee from entering a fiscal crisis in a bipartisan vote that pushed 12 Republicans to vote against the legislation and 19 Democrats to vote in favor of it. So don't see that very often.
No,
as far as as much of a split from the moderates kind of being like, let's get this done, and people on both sides voting against it. But the result boosts funding in local governments across Wisconsin by increasing the amount of revenue that returns to those governments from the state. So this is known as shared revenue.
Shared revenue.
And it allows the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to each implement a new and or additional sales tax through 2/3 votes of the common council and the county board of supervisors, as opposed to letting voters decide. But to get this done, the big trade-off was it required Evers to agree to a separate bill, which boosts funding for private school vouchers, which, as you can imagine, over the last week has drew a fair amount of outrage from Evers' oldest allies, which is the Wisconsin Teachers Union.
Sure.
Because it falls way short of the funding that was asked for public schools. It does give some more money to public schools, but not nearly what they were asking for. And it is a huge boon to private schools, charter schools, and the voucher program. And so that legislation also passed in both chambers, with two Democrats, each in the Senate and Assembly, joining Republicans to vote yes. But certainly not the same amount of bipartisanship as there was on the shared revenue bill.
Right.
So once the shared revenue bill is signed by Evers, this is going to fall into the hands of the Common Council and the County Board in Milwaukee, where they will have to get 2/3 vote on it. And it's not known exactly, but that is going to be, that's not a slam dunk either, because there is a fair amount of people on both of those, on the Common Council and the County Board, who are already pretty vocal about how mad they are about all of this and about the overreach and the overreach into local control. And there's been criticism from Milwaukee Common Council members who said the policies contained in the local government funding bill are, quote, overreaching, micromanaging, and frankly, racist. And in particular, council members have objected to the policies that take aim at diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives at the city and statewide. And this is a whole other battle that we've been hearing about for a while, as far as like DEI, the new boogeyman, after it was CRT.
Replacing CRT.
Yeah,
yes.
Like it was CRT. It's like CRT, trans issues, and now DEI. And Voss responded to that criticism of racist policies yesterday. And he said, liberals, quote, want race, color, and gender to be a part of everything and almost mandated for what people should believe. That's not what taxpayer dollars should be for. If you want to raise money in the private sector, if you want to have a bake sale or put money into your own ideology, you have every right to do that because we live in America. But it's not right to use taxpayer dollars to try to push one ideology over another.
This seems cherry picky to me.
It just, you know, I heard a great analogy, and I feel like there's probably another day that we can get more into the DEI conversation. But as far as like, it was legal and the government had overreach for so much of our history. When we think of redlining, when we think of like just how many laws that were in place that disproportionately affected minorities negatively. And now that we're at a place in society where we recognize that that is wrong, And we're trying to make up for the fact that there are groups of people who were held down because of the government, but now the government shouldn't be involved. And so that's a deeper conversation for another day, but because of a different place where Voss also wants to cut DEI, which is the UW system, they, as of this week, they have not voted on this yet, but it is at the UW level. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss proposed a $32 million cut in an attempt to dismantle campus diversity offices. But yesterday, Governor Evers said that he would veto any state budget if Republicans advance the $32 million cut to the UW system, which is a pretty bold, considering how much negotiation has been happening across all of these different bills. But he said yesterday, to cut at this point in time, the University of Wisconsin system, the University of Wisconsin system, when we have a $7 billion surplus, is irrational. I'm hopeful that will change before the budget is passed. And in reaction to that, Voss said he couldn't imagine Evers would veto the largest investments in public schools, the largest investments in generations in our local governments, and more money just for about every priority he has, which is true as far as, like, is he going to all of this other work that's been done?
Squash it all
over the $32 million cut. But, like, we haven't even talked about the proposals for UW and how much this completely hamstrings them over this DEI thing.
Well, and the whole School of Engineering is just, it's so short-sighted. It's stunning.
But the whole thing is short-sighted. Like, the entire argument that we should not be fun, like, that the gem of a UW system and how that keeps talent, how that grows talent, how that keeps people, young people and working age population in Wisconsin, and to continue to cut and cut and cut and not support and, like, really prop it up as this, like, us versus them from the Republicans in the legislature versus the UW system, to me just feels so, I mean, it's not new, but it also just feels so incredibly short-sighted. And especially because, like, I don't think Jay Rothman, head of the UW system, is, like, a staunch liberal, right? Like, doesn't he comes from the private sector, and, like, everything he's said as far as what he's trying to do with the UW system, like, he's said, like, he's made arguments of why diversity is good as, in, like, an economic reason for not cutting these programs, and yet that is the topic du jour. And the battle cry as far as why they don't deserve more money. But then now we only have a minute left. So here, a couple more things that are happening in Madison. We'll dive deeper into these over the next week. But the legislature also approved a series of housing-related bills, which passed very bipartisan, through a lot of bipartisanship. They also voted to boost road funding, but at an increase of an electric vehicle fee. So it would be $100, it'd be $175 instead of $100. And also, Voss also said Medicaid expansion will never happen so long as he is Speaker.
Never.
Never.
We don't need it.
Who says no to $1 billion? Robin Voss says no to $1 billion. All right. Certainly not enough time for any of that, but that is your Capitol catch-up. When we come back, Beyonce.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett septic pumper trucks come rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
With highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And yesterday in the U.S., the Federal Reserve did indeed held off on raising interest rates for the first time.
Long time.
It's been a pretty historic campaign to curb inflation that's been going on for 15 months. So now it's giving them more time to assess the impact of previous hikes on the economy. The Fed's decision leaves the benchmark federal funds rate at its current rate range of 5% to 5.25%, ending a streak of 10 consecutive increases, which is largely due, I think, to the earlier report that inflation has gone down some. But in Sweden, not quite the same story.
This is a crazy story.
So yesterday, Sweden reported higher than expected inflation for May, causing economists to wonder what could have kept prices elevated. And then it hit them. Beyonce.
What?
Beyonce. The pop superstar kicked off her Renaissance tour in Stockholm last month, drawing 80,000 plus fans to the city's Friends Arena over two nights.
Wow.
In response to the influx of concert goers, hotels and restaurants raised their prices to such a degree that it boosted overall inflation.
Oh, my goodness.
So the fact that one person, by the sheer force of her popularity, was responsible for higher inflation in an entire country is remarkable, not normal. Insert adjective here. But I mean, I don't know if has anything like this ever happened before. At least in there, one of the chief economists in Sweden said, quote, "It's quite astonishing for a single event. We haven't seen this before." And so, you know, Beyonce's tour arrives in the U.S. next month. So hopefully that doesn't affect Jerome Powell's decision to raise interest rates again. But isn't that unbelievable?
It really is. And all I can think of is, let's hope that Beyonce and Taylor Swift don't go on a global world tour because they're going to wreck economies all over the globe.
Well, they basically are right now. I mean, they're the two of them together being on their tour. Because Taylor's starting to announce international dates.
Oh, she is.
I think the first one was in Argentina. Because they're both, I don't know if they're actually, this has been stated, but either of them, both of them, could be the first artist to ever reach a $1 billion tour based on the tours that they're on right now. And which is unbelievable. And it was funny because I had a friend ask me the other day out of the blue. He was like, who do you think is the artist of our generation? And I said, either Taylor Swift or Beyonce. And I would say I like both of them. I'm a bigger Beyonce fan than Taylor Swift fan. But I have come to very much recognize how unbelievably talented Taylor Swift is.
They both are.
What was really wild to me when I was thinking about that question is no men even come up for, like, of my, like, because even after Taylor Swift and Beyonce, when we talk about longevity, when we talk about cultural influence, when we talk about the amount of, you know, what they do to Ticketmaster and how expensive, like what people are willing to pay to go see them, how many people are willing to pay that to go see them. Those two are for sure the top that come to mind. After that is potentially like a Lady Gaga.
Sure.
Potentially at one point, not probably never again. Kanye might have been up there at one point. But like, I can't think of any men who would top that list.
That's a really good point.
And not that have never, because obviously the Beatles, Michael Jackson, sure, and like sure, in sure. previous generations, but it was
recent.
Certainly men.
But
like currently, if you think about like Gen Z, millennial age right now, because like Beyonce and Destiny's Child, I was in middle school when they first came out with their Bills, Bills, Bills. And like, I think I was in like sixth or seventh grade. And she has been in the dominant culture since the late 90s. And is still dominating it. Taylor Swift is a little bit behind her, but still, since she was 14.
She was a teenager.
She's been just like never not relevant, basically. And only gaining probably popularity and reinventing themselves as far as like, because you think about like Madonna before them reinventing herself. But I don't know. Do you have any? I would love to hear from people at home, 844-967-2789. As far as the current, like, Gen Z, millennial, even Gen X generations, like, who is the artist, the musical artist of that generation, if not Beyonce and Taylor Swift? And is there anyone that you can think of that's a man? 844-967-2789. Can you think of anyone?
My mind immediately went to the Backstreet Boys, but that's 90s, you know, right?
And I would say their longevity was less than a decade.
It was probably about 10 years, right?
I don't even know if it was that long. Because by the time, I mean, they gained popularity when I was also in middle school. And I feel like by the time I was in high school, NSYNC, like, because I would say by the time it was college, like, Justin Timberlake went solo in like 2003 or 2004, and then NSYNC was over, and I'm not sure any of the Backstreet Boys necessarily had a super successful solo run.
Except for Timberlake, no.
So I would say no, like definitely not, as far as a career that spans 2 to 3 decades at this point.
I mean, the Rolling Stones are still alive.
Yeah, but I would not say that they are of this generation at all. Like, even though they're still touring and they span generations, I would never argue that they're the artists of, like,
of
my generation.
Right.
Can you think of anyone else?
Unless it's some country artists.
But I don't think that's of a generation. That's of a genre.
Right.
And so,
sorry, guys, you got your work cut out for you.
Seriously. And I was like, even rock, like bands, are there any bands right now that like top that? And granted, I am not the most informed music fan. So maybe someone out there who knows more about, I don't know, but just as a layperson, off the top of my head, these two women, both financially and I think culturally, are absolutely dominant, so much so that they are changing economies.
Affecting inflation.
So, all right. Well, when we come back from the top of the hour news, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here too for our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement. And then at 11:30 next hour, what's it like to grow up with a weird name? Do you have a weird name? What's the strangest name you've ever come across? Because, you know, I gotta name a kid someday, pretty soon. So we're going to talk about that at 11:30. But for now, we're going to go to the news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the WFHR Alzheimer's Association.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports.